the human being, his success, the basis of success for a human being is, it depends on his hereafter. That person who continues to prepare for the hereafter, but until that result does not come out, then the human being should not sit at ease. He should not be at ease. Even if Allah has given him tawfiq to do ibadat, to do worship actions, to do good deeds, but even then, don't just sit back and be content. Rather, think more and more. And always be trying and make effort that today Allah has given you the ni'mah, the opportunity. Continue this opportunity until that stage when you are departing from this world. So if the person gets this opportunity, then Alhamdulillah, he is successful. He is a successful person. And his hereafter will become very good, very nice. And these are the opportunities that person needs to take hold of. All lifelong, a human being should continue to try, but not just once. And he should always be concerned and feeling that Allah, please continue to give me the tawfiq to make effort, and then I can succeed. Now, there are people who, when they are in the world and then they leave this world, we see some people during their life, you can testify and say that this person is successful. Today, a person, he passed away in Pakistan. He's connected to our silsila, to our order. And a unique connection he had with our order. Not just him, but his children and their children after that as well. In other words, generations. Tell me. And he at this moment will be in his final phase of this dunya, in his final destination, final position from when he departs from this world. What will be the scene when the angels ask him? And his answer will be given by his children who are sitting now and doing the dhikr of Allah. My man says this, that the angels will not ask, rather they'll congratulate him. They'll congratulate him that you have left such an offspring and children in the world that when you're departing, that your children, their testimony and their children are testifying to the state of your iman. So such fortunate people depart the world who are extremely successful, that he has departed. He has gone. And mashallah, he's leaving the khadims, the people who are working for the silsila, those who are serving the silsila, ghulams, workers, that his whole family is in the khidmat of the silsila. So, from his heart, we do dua for him, that Allah Ta'ala makes his further stages successful, and everybody gets such a death, and everyone gets children like this, and get children like this through his generations, that the Naqshbandi blood, it continues. So this is success. And this success, to attain this, how do we attain this success? This is from the qurb-e ilahi, nearness to Allah. This is Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness. All things are attained via Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness. The more a person is connected and close to Allah, the more his stages and rank and level is higher, and his hal continues on that, and his dunya continues on that basis, and his hereafter continues on that basis. Qurb, nearness to Allah, is the crux of the matter. How close is this servant to Allah, and how much is he trying ongoing to get closer to Allah? This is the ongoing effort. We know something, that there's a way, a path to Allah, and what is that? Qurb ilahi. To attain the nearness to Allah. Always a person should be concerned, I need to get closer to Allah, closer to Allah, closer to Allah, connected to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared the means for us to achieve this, that my servant gets close to me. Because Allah wants, Allah Ta'ala says, that you are far, but I'm not far from you. Allah says, you are far. Maybe, but I'm not far from you. I'm closer to you than your own jugular vein, but you are far. So this is not good, that we are far. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that his servant is far from him, from the Lord, from the Creator. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us such an amal, such an action, a great action, that it makes a person get so close to Allah that no other action can get you closer to Allah than this one. No other action can get you close to Allah than this one. Totally authentic deed Allah Ta'ala has given to the people of faith, that so much at that time, immediately, within a second, it gets a person close to Allah. And Allah has announced that in the Quran, in beautiful words with depth. And there's a sajda within that verse, so we won't recite in Arabic now. Allah Ta'ala says, just prostrate to me and come close to me. Subhanallah. In other words, that only the person who really loves Allah can understand the depth of this. That if somebody is beloved to somebody and he gives his all for that person, he says, remove the veil and the barrier, come in front of me. So how quickly he will move that veil to get close to the beloved. But between Allah and his servant, Allah has put just one thing. Allah says, you're not far. I'm waiting for you. I've prepared for you. Allah says, just do one action. Rub your forehead on the ground and I'll be close to you, Allah says. Allah says, you'll do sajda and I will take you close to me. I will take you to that level of qurb nainis, that will be the highest stage of nainis to me, Allah says. The maqam of qurb. The maqam of qurb is the highest grade level for a mu'min. And he attains that not in salah. I say in sajda he attains it. Sajda. Prostration. Salah is the starting point for that. Remember this. All the preparation that a person goes through, wash his hands, put water in his nostrils, clean the nose, and put khilal through your beard, khilal of the fingers, clean your feet, wash to hair, and wipe the neck, and masa of the head, wudu parts, every juz of the wudu part, it purifies your body. Allah Ta'ala is preparing you in reality. What for? Why is He making you do all of this? That what you attain through the ibadah of wudu is not that we come and we, wudu is not the objective. It's not the end point. It's not the destination. It's the initiation is wudu. It's the start point. Yes. That for example, like washing his limbs, doing miswak and everything, subhanAllah, amazing reward just in the preparation. Just in the preparation. That when you prepare, you do wudu, you get clean, and then you look up to the heavens and recite kalima. Allah says, I'll open all the doors of paradise for you. Just in the preparation. Look at the way to qurb. Allah's name is that this is just the preparation. Allah says, my servant is getting close to me. And then Allah Ta'ala says that stand in front of me. Stand in front of me. And Allah has made the masjids for a person to come to pray to him. And then Allah Ta'ala gives a form and method and the person stands there. Allah Ta'ala says, you've come to meet me, first do this action. Raise your hands and detach yourself from everything in the world. Raise your hands at the beginning in the salah. When a believer raises his hands, then he doesn't have ijazah to look at anyone, to speak to anyone, to think about somebody, to listen to somebody, to eat food, to take something, to drink water. It's a unique ibadah. Why is this happening? What is happening? The fasting is separate, great ibadah. But in this ibadah, salah, that he detaches, Allah makes him detach from everything. Independent from everything. These are the phases of ishq, of love. So Allah says, I detach you from everybody. Everything, no one left, right, nothing. You can't even look around you. Just point your eyes towards one place. Allah's given the method. Then when you stand, that Allah says, when you're standing, look here. When you bow, then look here. And when you sit, then look somewhere else. And when you do these actions, this much thawab, this much thawab, this much thawab. Different parts. And you still haven't got to the end point. Then how much thawab is Allah given on the way to the end point? Then he continues in that journey, raises his hands, independent, detached from it, Allahu Akbar. And the words he says are, Allahu Akbar. The Allah apart from you, there's nobody greater than you. The greatness of everyone else has come out of my heart. All fears have left my heart. Everything I'm afraid of has left my heart. Just like, you know, for example, something's coming, there's a child with you, and he straight away, he runs and attaches to his father, and he thinks that my father's embrace, I'm protected in my father's way. The child thinks that nothing horrible can affect me. The same way when a person says, Allahu Akbar, in the beginning of Salah, he doesn't care about anything else. Whatever loss, you can pick up whatever weapon, you can try to do this to me, whatever, but he's independent at that time. He says, because he has yaqeen and belief, that Allah is greatest, there's no one greater than Allah, that's it. Then he's immersed. What's he seeking in this phase he's reciting hamd. What's he looking for? Reciting kalimat. What's he looking for? He's seeking his beloved, the person who's praying. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And he's just reciting the nasheed of his mahbub, of Allah. He's reciting hamd and praise. You are like this, you are like this. You are the Malik, you are the Khalik, you are the creator. You are the one who gives. Everything belongs to you, my Malik. Then he goes into ruku, bowing posture. Then he remembers Allah. Then he stands up again. These are the different postures, like you do sa'i in Umrah. What is this? This is the feeling of Hazrat Hajira. She is looking for her child, running this way, running that way. Sometimes she went this way, she went to this mountain, she went to this height. So that became her emotion and condition. She was looking for a child. Same way the servant when he's in the salah, then he's looking for Allah, his Rabb, his creator. That Allah, I'm looking for you, my beloved Allah, where are you? That where shall I find you? SubhanAllah. So Allah says, continue, keep coming, my servant, keep coming, get closer to me, get closer to me. He stood, then he went into bowing. After bowing, then he seats his servant. Then after sitting, then on the earth, Allah says, put your forehead, alhamdulillah. From his mouth, he says, Subhan. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, he said at the top. And then here in prostration, he says, Subhan. Allah, you are pure. Glory be to you. Where you have gone, and give me your closeness. That where people think the dirt on the ground is dirtiest of all. But Allah says, humility and humbleness is there on the ground where you will meet your Lord when you do prostration. Does anybody bow in front of anybody? Does anyone prostrate? But the human being becomes the urge is totally simple and humility. And on the ground, Allah says, recite my tasbih. And this is called, do my sajda, Allah says, and come close to me. And how does a person get close to Allah? Allah Ta'ala says that a person attains such qurb, the nearness to Allah, just like he is seeing his Lord. And this is called mi'raj al-mu'mineen. The mi'raj of the Mu'ad. Why did Allah give mi'raj? Allah says that my Nabi came to the heavens and saw me in the heavens, and his ummah will see me on the earth. SubhanAllah. Look at the great, unique opportunity. Allah says, do prostration, sajda, and attain my qurb. So brothers, such a great action Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Qurb. His name is Qurb Ilahi. So how can the servant be far from his Lord, the human being? But what have we done to this? That such a great ni'mah, salah, Allah has given us, become a difficulty for us today. For the ummah today, salah is a mountain. It's a burden. It's a test. Our feet don't go towards salah. The masjid, shall I go to a masjid? Oh, maybe, but with extreme difficulty, I'll pray at home. I'll pray at home, I say. My brothers, this is not something that we just detach from our bodies and throw away to the side. We think we're free from it. Good riddance, we say, good riddance. That I just presented to you a style of thinking about salah in a faqiri way. In a way of the lover of Allah. I didn't present it to you in the fiqh way, the jurisprudence way. Yes, I presented it to you in a loving way. Such a beautiful, enjoyable action of salah. And if we don't attain Allah's qurb, and we are that lazy with salah, that's how bad our relationship is with Allah. And tomorrow we are to pass away, to go into our grave. The questions will come to us. What will be the solution to those questions, tell me? What will be, and what platform will I stand in the hereafter and give the answers? What will be my position? Think about it. So Allah Ta'ala, His mercy, He gives His servant a reminder, somehow come to me, and come close to me. Come close to me, Allah says. But the servant, the human being, thousands of wrong paths that he's adopted. He makes excuses. He says that Allah Ta'ala, I can find him here. I find Allah Ta'ala from other actions. My brothers, Allah Ta'ala, if you find him, you will find him only in the sajda, you will find him. Let me tell you this clearly. Where Allah Ta'ala said, you will find me, only there you will find Allah. That's it. No other place will you find Allah. Destroyed are those people, ruined, who are trying their own methods and styles and opinions. I get Allah's nearness from here, I do other things, I don't need to pray. Oh, this is just a side thing. And you will find people like that. Thou I give Allah Ta'ala the jaliyat, magnificence in sajda and salah. Apart from the other things where people say they find the magnificence of Allah, that is shaitan. And it is the deception of shaitan that deviates them, that keep prostrated to me. Shaitan says, because a person does shirk at that time when he breaks Allah's principles and he follows the principles of shaitan. That's why a person who has iman can also become a mushrik, because after bringing iman and faith, even though he believes, even then he's in danger. If he breaks Allah's principles and he runs after other principles to find Allah, then he's in danger. That's why shaitan gets a chance. And that's why he says, oh, I find Allah here, oh, I do this worship action, oh, I do other things and I get close to Allah. Can never be impossible. Never can it be. Remember this point. No Shaykh Kamil, no complete Shaykh will ever show you any other path to Allah's nearness. The true Shaykh will only tell you one path to attain Allah's Qurb and nearness. What is that? Sajda, prostration. Prostration. Let me tell you this clearly. The most important thing that the Kamil, complete Shaykh will teach to his student is that he will strengthen his Salah. And the true Murid, the true student, who is the honest, true Murid student, in the difference between the good murid and the false murid is that the good and honest and righteous murid who is traveling to Allah, when he has the right niyyah and he has the intention, he wants to find Allah's qurb, then the first difference you will see is in his salah. In his salah. He will become namazi, the true honest disciple student, because the love will be burning inside him for salah. He cannot be a murid, he's a liar murid who is not praying salah. Rather his children, even if his children don't pray salah, he's not a murid. Remember this point. That inside him, if he doesn't have the love for salah, then how will the love come in his children for salah? The most important fikr a student have for his children, the biggest concern a murid has for his children, is that my children, how will they pray salah? Before Quran, before hifz. You know this desire, I want my children to be hafiz and this and that. I've seen regularly such mothers that they're teaching the children this much hifz is done, this much hifz. But on the side of that, they're at 18 years old and never have they pushed them, dragged them towards the masjid. Never a father ever seen that he grabs his child and takes him to the masjid. He's doing hifz, he's done this many juz. He's saying, my brothers, first and foremost, develop the passion inside you. As soon as they're mature, put a topi on his head and stand him next to you in salah. I have seen such children, 1.5 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, from their tongue, Allah comes out of their mouth. When they see their mother and father doing sajda, then they start shaking. The child is shaking. You see a child, like we read Quran, they're moving, do dhikr, then they're moving to the action. So child, how does he have a consciousness, awareness and love? Not even knowing what the parent's doing. They see the parent praying salah. He considers, my mother's praying salah, my father's praying salah. So he starts moving. The postures of salah. Never will that child cannot start to pray. You make a child a hafiz, what's the benefit? Tell me. Just to show the people of the world, alim, scholar, what's the benefit of it? To show the people of the world? To tell the people of the world? Tell me, what's the benefit of it? If you want to make your child a namazi, then you've made that child everything. We have no need for dunya, that the people of the world praise us and praise our children. We want Allah to be pleased with us. That's what we need. Everything, a person who prays salah, he attains everything in this dunya. Because Quran will give you Allah's qurb, won't it? Hifz of Quran will give you the qurb of Allah. Ilm, knowledge of Allah will give you qurb of Allah. All of these will give you. But what are these? Allah Ta'ala says that me, you can only see me if you want to attain my qurb. Maqam of my qurb is only in sajda, prostration. Yes, child is hafiz, never prays salah, doesn't go to the masjid, you don't see him praying here, you don't see him praying there, no care for salah, and we're just praising him big-headed that our child is a hafiz. If my words may be bitter, my friends get upset with me, if they are, so be it, I don't care. I don't care about anyone if they're upset. Because I care about our Lord Allah, what he thinks. Somebody, if he comes on the right path due to my words, alhamdulillah, remember when I speak, after that, I look at the result. That one man, when I speak, I give dawah, I give you invitation to dhikr. And after that, when I see that subhanAllah, due to that dawah invitation, don't see people are praising me, wah, wah, what a great bayan, speechless. What do I see? I speak about myself, you or my friends, I share with you. What do I look at? How do I determine? What do I see is that after this bayan, what I spoke in the next majlis, has a new person come to that who is practicing on that? Alhamdulillah, when I see it, then understand what I said was accepted by Allah. One man, if he comes. Yes, I say it's accepted, who was not there yesterday. Yesterday I was sat, and today he comes again. I say, Allah subhanAllah, you have delivered the message to that person. I am successful and he is successful. That on your call he came and he's solid. So this is my standard determined, my friends, to measure. Yes? Until Allah is not in our sights, Allah's qurb, Allah's love, then everything is a waste, everything's temporary. Look at this and focus on this, what I'm saying to you. Your children before, yes, make them hafiz, make them alim, but first step, children, make them such a namazi, such a salah, that no salah in the masjid does your child leave. Otherwise, his eating's haram, drinking's haram, clothes are haram, love's haram, his walking's haram, everything's haram of that human being. What is there in his life, tell me, if he's not doing this action? Yeah, we're big-headed, my son's this, he's achieved this, he's doing that. Maybe he's whatever he is. Big science, big degrees, university, graduate. Oh, yeah. Fanfare, we need one thing. Does he do what Allah says? My qurb is attained in the action. That's it. Don't look left and right. That's our objective of life. Rather, other things, forget. If your children after dunya, he doesn't have the, made him study hips and he doesn't even the akal to pray salah. Be upset with that person and scold him and be strict with him. So he realizes that inside I have nothing. This is what I need to do. The person who has nothing, but you should be bigger and say, my child, he prays salah permanent, and be happy about that. My children. And also don't say it out of pride, so that you're showing off to people and putting other people down. No, say in such a style and manner that I appreciate my child. And alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to Allah's ni'mah that my child and we are praying salah. Not this, my child is this, your child is sinful, my child prays salah. No, this is an extreme sin. This is a sin full of kibr and pride, that you think your child, he's my child praying salah and your child is useless. Never even think this for a second. That you look at another child and you show off with your children and praise your children, they're praying. Remember this, I've seen with my eyes, that his child, then your child will also become worse than the other child. I've seen this. Those people who are big-headed, who praise their children with kibr, with pride, which is inside ingrained, that I want to show off to other people, look at my son, he's pious, he's praying salah. Oh, he goes to the masjid and he gives azan. Then this, what doing this praise of your child, if you do it due to Allah's ni'mah, you want to create passion in other people, you want to share that goodness with other people, so that you, because you have pain for the other person, out of need of tabliq, you're saying this from someone, and you're saying this so that it doesn't give pain to someone else, then there's tabal, for sharing the goodness. But if you're showing your child's piety to others, because you're elevating your child and you're belittling the person, remember my friends, very quickly your son will come onto the maqam of that person who you are criticizing. I've seen this with my eyes. So never put someone down. Don't belittle someone. Don't criticize someone's children. Your daughter's like this, your son's like this, your beta's like this, and they're like this. No. Say it with sadness and pain. Allah, improve those people as well. Don't make them ashamed. Don't belittle them, make them feel ashamed. No, there's a method, a style of sharing things with somebody. So most important of all, yes, nasiha comes in between the message as well. So I come back to the topic. What were we talking about? Qurbe ilahi, nearness to Allah. And how do we get nearness to Allah? In sajda, prostration. So what month are we passing through? What month is it? Ramadan. What did Ramadan come to do? Tazkiyah, purify us. And to purify us, the greatest method of purification is go to the company of the sheikh, and the greatest tazkiyah of the sheikh is that he teaches the student to pray the best of salahs. Remember this, our dhikr is not the objective. Dhikr is not the end point. Dhikr's result is the objective. That dhikr, the sheikh tells you to dhikr so the love of Allah comes into your heart, so that Allah Ta'ala's order, so we implement them, we do the best of prostration. Wherever Allah says, prostrate me, look at me, and I'm looking at you. I am looking at you, Allah says. Allah says, no, you are seeing me, that's the maqam you need to attain. What a great result. For the human being, for me, for you. So which duty is this? Who grabs hold of the duty? Those who are the honest deputies of Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the mashayikh. Our Mawlana Lahori Sahib Rahmatullahi said, the ulama, the scholars, they make the sweets, and the mashayikh, they are the ones who feed the sweets, the walis of Allah. They feed the sweets. They give you the taste of the sweets. Enjoyment. That yes, you hear the hadith from the scholar, this is salah, sajda, but let me give you the taste of the sweets, says the wali Allah. This is called tazkiyah, purification. So tazkiyah is the greatest line of the deen of Islam, and it teaches you salah. Not just salah, but sajda, prostration. Sajda, prostration. The rest of the salah are different parts, but the crux, the genuine part of the salah is sajda. Allah says, do sajda and find my nearness and come to me, Allah says. And whoever dies in sajda, what a great death, tell me. What a great death. Can anyone say that he has died whilst in the posture of qurbi ilahi? So Ramadan, how will Ramadan leave us? He's training us, teaching us, coaching us. And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about this? Subhanallah. That my Rabb in the day has given fast, and your Nabi in the night has given you qiyam. Subhanallah. This is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That look, during Ramadan, in Ramadan, you will attain nothing that in this way that is presented to you. Nothing else has been presented like it has in Ramadan. That's why I said two things in Ramadan. Two physical actions, ibadah. One is from Allah and one is Rasulullah s.a.w. gave to us. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, what did He give to us in Ramadan? Fasting. During that time, what did Rasulullah s.a.w. give us? Taraweeh. Subhanallah. Look at the Taraweeh. Who gave this? So, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his style, and with the love and belovedness, he gave the sweets to the ummah. Look, his style, with tenderness and affection, how Allah's Nabi sallam gave Taraweeh to the ummah. Aha. What love Rasulullah sallam had, an affection. The itikaf, the time came, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat in itikaf. And you know the straw type of rough mat, you know, like we have it. So there was the parda, the barrier made out of straw in Masjid al-Nabawi. Ya Subhanallah. Where, imagine the scene, next to the house of Aisha, right next to the house of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha, which we call Riyadul Jannah today. Yes, if I'm giving you the scene now, the journey of Medina in Ramadan, eh? Yes, so it was Ramadan, it was the final Ashra, the last 10 days after 3-4 days that time will come. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of the two worlds sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his habit was that the barrier would be put up like a straw barrier. So close to the house of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha said that, MashaAllah, I used to also wash his hair from there, coming out of the hujra. Subhanallah. So beautiful scenes. And we don't know how to say this, but ajeeb, unique scene that we cannot utter from our mouth. Sometimes in the naats, nasheeds, I share those scenes with you. Very quickly, very soon, I will share a naat with you, inshallah. A nasheed with you. Ramadan, new and nice nasheeds are released, MashaAllah. So this is a gathering of tazkiyah. We talk about love. I don't open the Quran, do tafsir in front of you. We talk about love and muhabbat, and we exchange the love from the heart so that the light can come to the heart. Subhanallah. So then, the straw mat, the barrier, and nothing else was there. Subhanallah. It was Ramadan, keeping the fast, all of the companions, and nothing else. Allah's Nabi says, has given a gift to the ummah during that time. That fast, all the previous ummahs got fasting, say Subhanallah. Fasting physically in the Quran, Allah says, the fasting I've given to you, I gave to all the previous nations. But has anyone else got Taraweeh? The previous ummahs? Subhanallah. Nobody, did anyone get the tawfiq to pray Taraweeh? Only the ummah of Muhammad, he got the gift of Taraweeh. Sadqai, the master of Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the master of Medina, who wrapped the black cloak around him. This was his sadqa, the green cloak. The green cloak he used to wear, and Sabz Libas he used to wear. He gave us this gift. This is his sadqa, the Taraweeh gift. Subhanallah. So this was his habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Masjid Nabawi and the Sahaba, there was Jama'ah, and they prayed behind him, the Ashiks, the beloved. So what happened? It saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to pray Salah. And they continued to pray. A lengthy Salah. The Sahaba Kram were beloved. The Ashiks, what is our Shaykh doing? We'll do the same. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes, was they wanted to follow their Sheikh. So all the companions, they practiced behind the Sheikh, and that became the deen. Where do you get this from? Qala qala Rasul, where did this come? That I heard this and I saw this and he told me and he told me where? Back to Rasulullah told this. That is deen. Formation of the deen. And the Sahaba, they were the beloveds, and they followed and they practiced, they delivered it and they passed it. And then it became Bukhari, Siyah Sitta, the six kitabs of hadith and fiqh and jurisprudence. And who? Hazrat Abu Huraira. He started it, the narration. So they started and said, what's happening here? The Prophet ﷺ is praying. What's our sheikh doing? One saw, two saw, 2 days, the first day. They said, the few of them, they followed the Prophet ﷺ. They stood in behind the salah. Say subhanAllah. And then, subhanAllah. If he continues, we continue. And if he stops, then we'll stop. Because the murid should do this as well. Yes, they start. And don't be upset if the, subhanAllah, if for example you get the elbow, then don't be upset. You should be happy because you should be following and imitating. Because at the end of it, immediately maybe you get an elbow. Go, step back. Don't do this. Some people, they get upset. The foolish people, they should be happy that the sheikh is giving their tarbiyah. Immediately they should send the box of sweets and matai to me. The Hazrat, you gave me a good lesson. Subhanallah. Anyway, I'm just joking. Don't start sending the matai to me. I'm just joking. So, what was I saying? Was that what happened then? The Sahaba Karam, mashallah. So they started to practice. Do you enjoy what I'm saying? You don't enjoy what I'm saying. Subhanallah. So I'm just taking you through the scenes of Medina and Itikaf, and I'm explaining to you how Taraweeh came to the Ummah. The love and the affection to the Ummah. A little bit of time, but with love I will share this with you. I will share this knowledge with you. So look here, brothers, that person, when he's gone into his grave and his children are enjoying, they don't even know. They've probably even forgotten that he's passed away. They're listening. MashaAllah, how fortunate they are, MashaAllah. So, MashaAllah, a few of the Sahaba, some were afraid, they weren't sure, they were hesitant. They said, okay, let's stand behind the Prophet. Maybe he will tell us not to do. Maybe, MashaAllah, the elbow will come. But the slap of the beloved is beloved, isn't it? There's no pain, because they enjoy that. Even if they're told off, that if he slapped the sheikh, and the sheikh slapped the marid, he said, please slap me again. I enjoyed that slap of sheikh. I love that. So Rasulullah didn't say anything. He said, carry on, my sahaba. Because the affection, the love was to come. This was the style of his giving to the ummah. And he's giving us. What is he giving and how is he giving? So first day, the sahaba prayed behind him. And then their love increased. Second day, the Prophet did the same action. The Prophet stood again. And he stood. The five stood before. Then 20 sahaba stood. They didn't get an elbow. Okay, we'll also join. Said the third day, the whole Masjid Nabawi was full. Behind the Prophet ﷺ. SubhanAllah, yeah, this is an action that's been established. And they're praying Taraweeh. SubhanAllah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ is leading the Salah. And he gave Taraweeh to the Ummah. With love he gave to the Ummah. Slowly, slowly. He didn't say to the whole Ummah, pray. With an ishq. They were immersed in the Quran. The Quran was being recited. And the person who was reciting, Imamul Anbiya, the head of the Prophets, and who are listening, the Sahaba Ikram, listening to the Quran. And this is coming for the Ummah, a gift. Taraweeh Salah. SubhanAllah. The third day, after the third day, when they prayed, then the Prophet said, listen, my murids, come here. Then the elbow came. The elbow came, what are you doing here? They said, what you are doing, O Prophet of Allah, subhanAllah. We're doing the same. Yes, you are doing correct. You are imitating me. Who else are you going to imitate? Obviously, he is a murid who imitates his sheikh, who follows his sheikh. But listen to me, the Prophet said, that I was doing this. But for you, this imitation of you, and I'm speaking to you in the language of love. These aren't the word for words of the hadith. Just in between, I'm giving you an explanation that your love following me, you imitated me, you followed me. Allah Ta'ala loved this extremely. Allah was very happy with this. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. My beloved companions, that your actions are so beloved to Allah. Allah liked them so much. Extremely pleased with you. And they were the lovers of Allah. They became so happy at that time, the Sahaba. Nur ala nur. One is Rasulullah's word. And secondly, Allah loved what we were doing. That our lives have been made. SubhanAllah. Jannah's open. The paths have been open. Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. Amazing enjoyment. Just like you are swaying. Imagine they're swaying. And they're enjoying. SubhanAllah. So Taraweeh, is it hard for you now to pray Taraweeh? Tell me. Is hard for you. What happened after that then? SubhanAllah. So Rasulullah said that Allah loved this so much, but I am your Nabi, I am your Prophet, and I don't want to give you difficulty and hardship. SubhanAllah. He loved the Ummah so much. He said that I am afraid that it's so pleasing and so mahbub that maybe Jibreel Islam, before he comes, I'll speak to you first. Aha. SubhanAllah. That maybe what I do, and then you go stuck in there. So let me speak to you first. That maybe Jibreel will come and he may be, make it fard upon you. And make it fard upon you might become difficult for you, my children. So Rasulullah said, I know that you are stood here. I know you are stood here. But there will be Ummah that will come after you in Bolton. And they will be born in other parts of the world, in America and in other parts. And they won't be able to pray Salah. They won't come towards the masjid. Yeah? No, my shop or my house or this or that. No, the excuses. And so where will they come to trouble? So such a thing that has created, that love has been given to the ummah, that they will come running to the salah. And subhanAllah, that Allah Ta'ala also has given the limit so that they're not given too much excess. So this is the work of the shaykh. That he doesn't pester the murid, he doesn't force the murid. He gives with love and affection to the followers. He doesn't make them upset or distressed, oh, this is for a few, or pray this and do this nafil. No, he will bring them to you and put them in your lap, but with love and affection, nicely, so that you will embrace it with your heart. SubhanAllah. So this is the case, SubhanAllah. That my Rabb, He gave you fasting in the day and your Nabi gave you Qiyam. And now it's your choice, but, SubhanAllah, so that it doesn't become fard on you, but you have ijaza, you can pray it at home or in the masjid, however you pray it. So there, he did not tell them not to do it, but he gave them ijaza. But with the love and affection, the ijaza was given and he demonstrated to them how to do it. So then after that, the Sahaba Ikram, were they to leave the salah? How could they leave the salah? So then someone's praying here, someone's praying there, somebody's praying there, somebody's praying there. So four men, someone's here as imam, someone's praying at home. Salah was established. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away in the same condition. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was Umar, subhanAllah. And he was passing by the Masjid Nabawi. Then from Allah, subhanAllah, inspiration came to him because Nabi, subhanAllah, Nabi, his speech, and Allah Ta'ala used to confirm it. SubhanAllah. So Umar's speech, when he spoke, Allah Ta'ala also confirmed also his speech. SubhanAllah is present in the Quran. Few verses are like that. That the decision was being made, Umar spoke, and then he said this or this, and Allah Ta'ala from Allah said that should happen, what Umar has said. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Umar Farooq, he was Farooq. He was the one who created farq, differentiation between kufr and Islam. That was his blood. That was his practice. SubhanAllah. He created the farq, the difference, that this is deen and this is bidah. SubhanAllah. Umar Farooq, this is shirk and this is love. Umar Farooq, radiyallahu anhu. So from him, anything, when he establishes it, then nobody can put a stop to that. That there's no choice after that. So he said, oh, he passed by Masjid Nabawi and SubhanAllah. So Hazrat Umar called the Sahaba, Umar companions, immediately they all came. Yes, hukam, instruction, it was his era, he was the Imam, he was Amirul Mu'mineen, he was the deputy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and every Sahabi came, hukam, please instruct us, he was Khalifa of his time. He said, my heart feels that you are praying here and there, you all separated, that you have done Jamaat with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's not wrong what you're doing, Jamaat has occurred, it behind him, the Jamaat did happen behind him, he was Imam. Of the and the hukam, he gave the instruction. So he said, so the rest I will complete the rest for you now. And the subhanAllah, you're praying, so pray with Allah in a loving way, in a nice way. He said, speak in a nice way. So do the action, I'll tell you in a nice way, because I'm his servant, I'm his disciple, and all it's coming from there, but it's coming in a certain way, in a method, so that you don't get scared suddenly from this action. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that the point is this. Will you do this? They'll say, yes, we'll do it. So I tell you the tariqah, please tell us. He said, my heart feels that you're praying here, separated in different parts. Isn't it better that we all get together and do jama'ah? And do it in jama'ah and congregation? They said, bilkul, totally, labbaik, we are ready. He said, okay, fine, I'll make the imam. Say, subhanAllah. Why? Because, are you the imam? He said, I'll make the imam. It's the choice of the Nabi. SubhanAllah. Such a great statement. He said, whose choice is it? Is it Rasulullah's choice? Not mine. That I will instruct him. My hukam here, that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallam brought it to this stage is my selection. Are you enjoying what I'm saying or not what I'm saying? SubhanAllah. Are you feeling the fast? No, you're not feeling the fast. You hungry? So what happened after that? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, it's my choice. So it's his choice, his selection, but I will give the instruction. What did he say? Who will be the imam? Such great sahaba, companions, their names, Quran, memorized, mashallah, on their tongues. He said, no, everyone's failed. Listen, announcement of Umar. About who Rasulullah said about that companion. That most, all the sahaba, they read Quran. And all, like everyone's Quran. But most of all, the best Quran recited from all the sahaba. Who? Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiyallahu anhu. Radiyallahu anhu. Ubay ibn Ka'b. SubhanAllah, every companion's rank and status was separate. And these are the Sahaba of the Quran, Ubay ibn Ka'b. Nobody can compare to him from any of the companions. Recitation. Just like Allah gave titles. As Ali about him, Rasulullah said that he's the great Qazi. There's no companion who can be Qazi. In other words, a judge. Justice cannot be meted out like Ali, karamallahu wajhu. As a Harith, Rasulullah said, that all alims and scholars, but wirasat ilm, that nobody can do compared to him. Subhanallah, these were his special qualities. Subhanallah. And haram and halal, differentiation, all of you know. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that all the companions, most of all greatest, is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, in this quality. So Rasulullah sallam, he made these stars shine, and he selected them. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah sallam said, Quran recitation, Ubay ibn Ka'ab. Subhanallah. So I say every Hafiz Quran should be a lover of Ubay ibn Ka'ab. And if you, I probably say that you don't even know the Hufaz today, their names, because we just want to do hifz for showing the world. We don't even know their names. At least remember the name Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. Who was he? He was the Ashik of the Quran recitation, such an Ashik of the Quran. Rasulullah said that I like listening to his Quran. That's it. That his recitation, his tajweed, I like to listen. His melody is his melody. His tartib, his methodology, his is what I want to hear. Subhanallah. So then after that, Ubay ibn Ka'ab stood behind all the Sahaba, the great Jamaat. From that time until today, until Qiyamah, 20 rakat Taraweeh will continue. Subhanallah. So where did it start? In Masjid al-Nabawi. They try to stop it. Even in the Kaaba it takes place. And even Masjid Nabawi 20 rakat takes place. Even if their aqeedah, whatever their faith is, but Taraweeh when it comes, as Umar's hukam will continue. 20 rakat Taraweeh. Yes? So if somebody wants to pray 6, 8, play games, drama. But the real hukam that Rasulullah gave through Hazrat Umar, if you pray, then pray 20 rakah. If you don't pray, run away. Run away, it's not for go. But who is the ashik of Rasulullah who leave Taraweeh? And then the enjoyment in Taraweeh, what is the reward? What was our topic? Qurbe ilahi, closeness to Allah. Announcement made by Ramadan, oh monkeys. If you are looking for Allah's nearness and you are running away from Salah, where will you get your Rabb? From this ibadah. Why are you deceiving yourselves? I am a Rabb if you want to attain Allah only in sajda, and you leaving sajda? This action in every sajda, maqam of Allah's qurb, you cannot compare. Imagine that the solution on every sajda, every prostration, on one prostration, do sajda, not sujood, not plural, read the verse sajda. One sajda. Is this not the case, my brothers? Yes. Not sujood, not prostrations. One prostration attain my nearness. One prostration of a mu'min is so valuable. Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness, Allah purifies him. Allah says that Allah's qurb is attained via that one sajda. The more you want, even we've just done wudu and we purify ourselves ablution. But the Kamil Shaykh, he purifies the student from within before he prays Salah. Double subhanallah. Double subhanallah. There you do wudu and the sins you are doing, tawbah from your sins. Allah, I committed sins, Allah forgive him. Allah break his heart. From inside, the sins are being purified through wudu, and then the rest physically are purified after that. Only that person will read of a shaykh who is sincere. And who is not sincere, that he can throw the splashes of water, Allahu Akbar, this and that, and he prays Allah and runs away. Only he will get the qurb of sajda as well. Because Allah has promised in the Quran. He will also attain. But he, not according to the right capacity, when he purifies himself, his zahir with wudu and batani through his shaykh's teaching, and then he will get the qurb of Allah pure. So I told you how to pray salah? Yes. Don't pray salah, just do sajda, and you've taken people's rights, you have to give money to people, you've sworn at people, you've backbited to people, you've done dhulam with people, you've oppressed people, and you tawheen, disrespect other people, and you come and stand and say you're doing sajda to attain Allah's nearness. First ask yourself, the first time he washed the oppression, how much have I served my mother and father? How much have I served my mother? How much have I served my father? How much have I served my sheikh? How much have I served? How many hearts have I broken? Who have I made cry? Whose money have I consumed and eaten? And this is the time, are you cleaning and continue to cry? Allah Ta'ala, forgive me, I'm about to come to you. Allah is Kareem. Allah says, just like you've purified yourself on top, then I've purified you within. Here, Allah, we don't have the appearance of the Prophet, we don't have the bed, we don't have the appearance, nor inside, nor outside, externally, internally. I've prayed Salah. I'm a Namazi, I'm a Haji, I'm high status. and then complains, I prayed so low, my du'as are not being accepted. I prayed so low, my daughter's not coming back home, my son's run away, and this is not happening, and this is not happening. Oh, servant of Allah, woman, pray salah the way I'm telling you, say subhanAllah. Has anyone prayed salah like this before? You're doing wudu and you're crying. Never. Never. Has it ever happened? Tell me. Who prays salah like this? Tell me. Who prays salah like this in this world today? So Ramadan has come. Ramadan says that all of you are going towards Jahannam. You're ready to go into hellfire. You talk rubbish about, people talk rubbish about you are nek and pious and righteous. What Allah has given to you, the action that will give you forgiveness, you haven't even got that. You haven't got sajda. What a great message. Sajda, prostration, you don't have it. You are wasting your time in salah. I've come to you, say, look what I've brought to you, says Ramadan. Say subhanAllah. What has Ramadan brought to us? What is it brought to us? Nothing else. Look at this. It's brought to us nothing else. What has it brought to us? Every night, 40 sajdas Ramadan has brought to us. One sajda will take you to Allah. So imagine 40 sajdas, the qurb, the nearness to Allah that is attained. How many? 40 in the night. And 40 multiplied by 30, how many? How many? All of you businessmen. Multiply 40 times 30. How much do you get? How much? If I say a pound, straight away you say 1 pound. But it's a good deed. We don't know you about pounds. You'll tell me the result. Pound, 1200 pounds, you'll say, isn't it? 1200 pounds. So how many pounds? 1200 pounds. 1200 maqams of Allah's qurb. Allah's qurb nainis Ramadan's giving to you. What a great maqam. So does he not become a muttaqi, that person? لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Ramadan promised, I will make you a muttaqi and it will graduate you as a muttaqi, not a thief. And it makes you in the high level muttaqi, say subhanAllah. Which a person who attains the qurb ilahi, that person who didn't pray salah, that thief who never used to come to the masjid, that insan who never ran to the masjid, subhanAllah. I'm stood at the back in Taraweeh and I saw such people and children and stood there, full was the masjid. Full was the masjid. Why? Who brought? Ramadan dragged them and pulled them to the masjid. Ramadan. Ah, what a great place. What is your fast in the day? Nothing. A waste, everything. A waste. But this is the real place when you come in the evening, do sajda and attain Allah's qurb and nearness. 1, 2, 40 sajdas. Allah says, go home and be ready for the morning. SubhanAllah. 30 days Ramadan makes us practice 1200 sajda, 1200 prostration. Not 1200 prostration, 1200 maqams of Allah's qurb, 1200 mirages. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Now you realize Ramadan, what it is? Why has Ramadan come? For this reason. And already those who pray salah and they run from their sheikh and their murids. And for them, what do they say? This is a bonus for them. A bonus for them. SubhanAllah. That you were, mashallah, already I'll put a bonus to you in your pocket. Already you were doing this action. Here, this will come in use to you. Here, bonus to you. Do you understand Punjabi? Yes. That it will come in use to you one day, this bonus. Will you leave Tarawih now? Don't look here, left and right, praying that masjid, pray wherever. But this is the case, that way Rasulullah prescribed us, mustaqim, go to one masjid, and listen to the whole Quran. Not here, leave Quran here, leave a bit of Quran here, leave a bit of Quran here. Okay, fine. First and foremost, select that place. The one thing you have is that, just like for example, a thought has come to my mind. Sunnah, this is also sunnah. That Taraweeh, prior to praying Taraweeh, the way is Quran recited nicely. Select that the good Ubayy bin Ka'b, who is the good student of Ubayy bin Ka'b? It's sad to say, young children, we make them stand, they don't choose to practice. But have another Taraweeh, go to another place. But their mother and father, speak honestly. Mother and father, to please them, to get chanda, charity, we bring young children and stand them in salah. Taraweeh's tajweeh is not correct. The people have stood there, listen to Quran, but they're not reciting properly. They don't recite properly. And those who recite properly and nicely, we say to them, oh, you recite. No. He's reciting. Oh, he's reciting. The youngster, the hukam is there. The Taraweeh, if you're going to recite, then recite. He should be the greater, the better reciter of the Quran. And for us, our qaris have hidden. The good reciters have hidden. And we brought people to the front. Oh, let them recite quickly, quickly, quickly. So that the mother and father can show off. My father, he's Hafiz. Oh, he recited Taraweeh there. He recited Taraweeh there. He's leading Taraweeh there. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Tell me the honest truth. So yaar, people want to come and listen to the Quran. Young child is reading the Quran. No, we're pushing food. Go then recite a second Taraweeh to train them, to coach them, to improve their Quran. So that when the person comes to recite the Taraweeh, so people leave enjoying themselves reading, listening to the Taraweeh. So this is the selection. Allah has given you the choice. The select a masjid where Taraweeh is recited nicely, but unfortunately we can't find them today. Committee, selection of the committee. This is selection of the committee. Committees. So whoever they want to lead the Taraweeh, they let whoever expel, they expel. Whoever they want to lead the Taraweeh and they expel the others and say go out. These are the committees. This is not Allah's masjid. Whose masjid is it? The committee's masjid. The committee's masjid. Otherwise, the committee should lead the masjid there. They don't lead the saliva, the committees, nor do they come to the masjid, the committees, nor do they base the committees, but they're the committees. They control the masjids. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So this is the choice Allah Ta'ala has given. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, the leader of the salah will be who you enjoy listening to his Quran. In that masjid, go to that masjid where you hear the Quran and you enjoy it. And Allah, millions of rahmas, Allah gives the thousands of hafiz who make the dunya enjoy the Quran. Dua for hafiz like that. Read the Quran in the most beautiful way. In the most beautiful way. Read in the beautiful way. We say, no. He reads quickly, he's reciting quickly, he's not reciting, he's stopping, he's hesitating. And those people like us stood there and we're just sleeping and said, we don't know what he recited or what did he recite. And we wanted to listen to Taraweeh. We just put one or two people there forward to lead. And what he does, he carries on doing what he wants to do. So no one has a desire. Taraweeh, have you understood the meaning of Taraweeh? Or you don't understand the meaning of Taraweeh? Quran is the greatest ibadah. Taraweeh, and the beauty of Taraweeh is Quran, and the beauty of Taraweeh is the hafiz of the Quran. The hafiz of the Quran. And this is our selection. Our selection. The look, who is the hafiz, who are the hair, even if it's a small masjid, select it and go there. Yes, next time I'm going to search like that, but there's no one around, who will do it? So that you try, select the our jamaat, the people who recite, they're at the back. They're at the back, they don't come. Who should recite? Who should be such great reciters? In our homes, they're sat. They're sat. It's not that they're not sat there, but they don't pray salah, their beards are trimmed, they sin all year long, they don't have the courage, determination to come and lead the salah. No, they want to show off, they'll come. For showing off, you can bring them, they'll come big-headed, come here, and they'll come there and put their chest forward. And then there's the riya, and the kufr, and the shirk, and the reciting like that. That should be a person all year long, he's preparing the Qur'an, Ubay bin Ka'b Qur'an, he should recite, and his niyyah should be not for money, not for praise of the people, just I want to make people enjoy the Qur'an. Enjoy the Quran. What should it be? Shakartum lazidannakum. Such a Quran, such a recitation that you're hearing the hamd on the earth and in the heavens, the angels are listening. Subhanallah. So this was brothers, Taraweeh that was given to us. May Allah Ta'ala, let's do dua to Allah. That Ramadan makes us human beings. Okay, let's do a little bit of dhikr. Recite the Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين يا الله ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہم سب کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما پوری امت کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے مرحوم کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ایک جو ہمارا ساتھی یا اللہ تیری رحمت میں پہنچ چکا ہے یا کریم یا اللہ اس حساب سے حساب کتاب کا وقت ہوگا اس کے میرے مولا یا اللہ تمام مراحل جو قبر کی اس کے لیے آسان فرما دے سوالات آسان فرما دے یا اللہ تو اپنی رضا کا پروانہ عطا فرما دے اور جنت کے سارے دروازے اس کے لیے کھول دے یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہماری آج کی مجلس کو قبول فرما اس کا بھی ثواب اس کو عطا فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین